presented by Invest in Our Land.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Tuesday, March 12th. Here's what's driving the day. Capitol Hill is a Twitter right now over the looming House vote to essentially ban TikTok. Despite Donald Trump's 11th-hour move to oppose this idea, sources on both sides of the aisle tell us they expect this bill to pass when it comes to the floor on Wednesday. Ahead of the vote, this lobbying blitz on Capitol Hill is reaching a fever pitch. TikTok's CEO will be on the Hill this week. The FBI, DOJ, and ODNI will be briefing lawmakers on the dangers of the app. Republicans, meanwhile, are privately smarting at Trump's last-minute foray into this issue, which many of them considered a no-brainer, particularly because the ex-president supported restrictions on TikTok as president. Several have personally reached out to Trump to try to tamper his opposition. But despite it, I'm told, quote, it doesn't matter. This thing is going to pass with 300-plus votes. The real question is what's going to happen in the Senate. And so far, the upper chamber appears to be in no hurry to pass this bill, if not take it up at all. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told reporters yesterday that he's got to talk to his committee chairs. And lucky for Schumer, our colleagues on the Congress team actually already did. They caught up yesterday with Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell, and she's actually eyeing a totally different bill that would allow the Commerce Department to regulate not only TikTok, but other foreign apps. We're hearing concern from a lot of senators about naming one particular company, ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, in this legislation. So senators are looking to sort of broaden it out and make it less specific. Today's blockbuster hearing on Capitol Hill, special counsel Robert Hur is appearing before the House Judiciary Committee. He's going to be talking about his explosive report about Biden's handling of classified documents. Obviously, he decided not to charge Biden, but it's still going to be an interesting hearing. Joining me now to discuss this is former federal prosecutor in the Justice Department turned journalist and one of my new colleagues as our new senior writer for Politico magazine, Ankush Kadori. Good morning, Ankush.
Good morning, Rachel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad to have you on. So I know you have a piece up this morning that has a warning for Democrats. But before we get to that, I'm curious, what can we expect to hear from Hur?
Well, Hur himself, I'm sure, is going to want to stress the sort of exhaustive nature of the investigation, how far and wide they looked. It was a quite extensive investigation, which I think has not gotten as much attention as it deserves. And I'm sure he's going to want to push back on the suggestions that he was somehow unfair to the president or, you know, went out of his way to somehow malign him or attack him in a partisan fashion. I mean, that's the main attack that's been lobbied against him by the Democrats. And I would assume he's going to want to do his best to try to rebut that.
And you wrote in your column this morning that it's not easy to make this guy a boogeyman for Democrats, right? I mean, it sounds like Democratic senators have praised him in the past. He was confirmed on a bipartisan basis. This is not like a natural boogeyman for the left here. Is that right?
No, he's not. I mean, and there are a couple other data points, too. I mean, while he was in office, you know, the White House was actually kind of trying to get him to criminally prosecute John Kerry. They first shopped it to the Southern District of New York. They said no. Then they moved over to Maryland, and he ultimately declined that too. And I actually had some dealings with his office while I was a prosecutor, just sort of working on a couple of cases with them. And so far as I could tell, everyone enjoyed working there, and everybody enjoyed working with him. It's not to say he's, you know, perfect by any means, but he's not someone who I think people can just easily paint with a partisan brush.
So tell us about this warning you have for Dems and how they should handle today.
Well, I think it was sort of a very strange feature of the reaction by President Biden, the White House, and Democrats was to sort of focus on the few lines, and I understand the concerns, but it's really only a few lines out of a 350-page report about the president's memory and in particular the president's recollection of his son. And there was a very, very aggressive pushback on that point in particular. President Biden held an impromptu press conference. But there's a lot more in the report that I thought was like quite concerning that we haven't really focused on. And I would imagine that Hur may want to introduce some of this, and the Republicans are going to try to introduce some of this as well. And in particular, there are several references in the report to Hur suggesting that President Biden may have been less than completely truthful in interviews with him. And that stuff really hasn't been fully explored in the media.
Ankush, you write in your column that in one of those passages, her writes that Biden told investigators that he did not remember finding classified documents after he left office, but that he would have given them to a trusted staff member if he had. You say her doesn't come out and say it, but he implies that this testimony might have been untruthful. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, there are a couple of points here. I mean, one is explicitly in the report, he says, we could find no record of any interaction like this having happened, meaning him having found a classified document and then given it to staff, meaning like he couldn't corroborate that part of it. And then the broader point is like, if you just take the whole report sort of as a, in its totality, it's clear that Heard does not believe that, because the whole report is about a variety of classified notes and a small number of classified documents that were in Biden's possession that he believes he did know were in his position at various points in time after he left office. So, that's the sort of statement that like maybe was made in an interview and pushed a little too far. But it's, I think, pretty obvious if you read the report that Heard does not believe that statement was fully accurate.
So basically, if Democrats come out swinging against him and try to make him out to be some boogeyman trying to go after the president, he could drill down on these points and cause even more of a headache for Biden.
Yeah, I mean, and there's like another one in there too, which I was actually surprised her used pretty sharp language on this. But it, apparently, you know, there's a recording in which at one point Biden refers to having classified material in his possession when he's speaking to his ghostwriter. And when he's asked about this by investigators, he tells them, I didn't mean classified, I meant private. And her has multiple passages on this claim. At one point, he says it's not credible. Later, he says it's incredible. And he says, but he could not prove that it was false, which is pretty sharp language for a prosecutor to use. Now, he didn't do a full like false statements analysis, but here too, like these are not words you use if you believe the person is being honest with you.
Any surprises you think we should watch for today?
You know, I'll be very interested to see how aggressively Democrats try to go after her. This is not someone I know personally, but I don't expect him to be sort of hot-tempered or sort of easy to rile up. And the temper and the sort of temperature on the Democratic side around this has, to me, been like really, really overheated, like very disproportionate to the actual substance of what's in the report. And I'll be curious to see if they continue to sort of double down that on that or maybe sort of try to pull it back now.
Interesting stuff. Ankush, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And for the rest of your schedule today, in the morning, President Biden will participate in a campaign meeting with members of the Teamsters. Later in the day, he'll hold a bilateral meeting with President Andrzej Duda and Prime Minister Donald Tusk of Poland. And don't miss Politico's annual healthcare summit on Wednesday. We expect a lot of news will be made on issues from the fentanyl crisis at home to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, abortion and election politics, drug prices, and yes, how to pay for that Ozempic craze. My colleague Ryan Lizza will be interviewing former presidential counselor Kellyanne Conway, and my fellow playbooker Eugene Daniels will sit down with the White House's Neera Tanden. Registration is required to attend in person. Find more details and a link to register in today's playbook. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.